Most people like to think that when they die, they will go to heaven. I mean, whether you are Christian or not, most people believe in there's a heaven out there. We might not know where the location is, but everybody talks about heaven. The scripture called this place heaven. Now, it's interesting. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but we know so little about heaven. I mean, sometimes we have our own ideas about what heaven is going to be like. We have our own assumptions, perhaps how we have been trained or raised. And we build our theology. We build our set of beliefs based on how we were trained. I mean, I just read in the radio the other day, 99.1, and I just could not believe what I heard because they were talking about pets. And they would say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that we're going to see our pets in heaven. And I almost wanted to say, where did you get that idea? I mean, yes, you probably love your pets around here, but give me some Bible verses that people would say, well, in Revelation, there are horses coming down. And that's what they assume, that maybe there are pets. I would tell people, you have to realize pets are here for you show love and compassion. Why would you think you're going to be showing love and compassion in heaven? I mean, use logic. Doesn't make sense, does it? If those things are here just for a moment, that, you know, to satisfy a need that you have, that, you know, to take care of something, you think you're going to be taking care of some? I mean, I cannot believe on the radio. But again, it's like, I'm telling you, we form different theologies and ideas about heaven. I mean, I heard people say when somebody died, they say, oh, the Lord just gained another angels. Apparently, people, when they die, they become angels. I go to scripture, I don't see it. And I'm here to tell you, because we had to let the Bible, the Word of God, redefine our theologies, our beliefs. And sometimes we're not going to be comfortable because it's going to go against what we already been trained. It's going to go against what we already been taught. And we don't like to be challenged like that sometimes. In my own life, I had to let the Word of God, the Bible, redefine what I believe, redefine my theology before I start believing certain things. And I just wanted to bring that up, the whole idea of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, because the book of Matthew, it's all about the main theme, the overarching theme of Matthew is the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew has 28 chapters. I challenge you, you want to do a little exercise. I guarantee you, you're going to find the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, more than 50 times in those 28 chapters. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. It's like this, the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the king. Why is all this talk about the kingdom of heaven? But we've got to let the Word of God and Jesus to define really what our beliefs will be about heaven. The Bible talks a lot about it. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't really know. We cannot even describe, because we are physical people trying to describe something spiritual that we have no idea. Even John, the Revelation writer, when he saw a glimpse of heaven, he ran out of vocabulary. And he's trying to describe something magnificent, and he's using words that he knew, like, and he would say, and I saw this, and it was like a crystal sea. Like? So it wasn't, but he's trying to use something that he know on earth to describe something that he would just saw. And we don't do justice to heaven. I love the song, Mercy Me. I can only imagine. Really, that's what I think is gonna, so many things that we just don't know. But scripture does say certain things about heaven, and you are a believer, you are a Christian, you need to know what it says so that we can challenge our own presuppositions and ideas about this place. What is the kingdom of heaven? See, the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, shows up in the wilderness, this bearded looking preacher, and he began preaching this message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. That was 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist, remember, the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he began preaching according to Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be spending time in Matthew because Matthew, like I said, is all about the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. So we need to understand what it is that he's talking about. What is this kingdom of heaven? So by the end of the sermon, it is my prayer that you are challenged to search it for yourself, to be educated more about what the whole kingdom of heaven is all about. John the Baptist, Matthew 3. I just want to read it here. In those days, verse 1, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
And verse 3 said, this is the one who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, making straight paths for him. John the Baptist, that was the main message. Then John the Baptist later on get arrested. Then Jesus shows up preaching the same exact message. Jesus didn't go preaching, the Messiah is here. This is what he said. Go now with me, chapter 4, verse 17. In Matthew 4, 17. From that time on, what time on? From the time that John the Baptist is being put in prison. And he never came out of prison because they killed him right there. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Interesting, the same exact message. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. Now, the word near means it's at hand. It's among you. John the Baptist did it. Jesus preached that. And then later on, when Jesus gave the disciples, he sent them two by two with the same message. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through following. If you have it there, say amen. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. What is it? The kingdom of heaven is near. It's not coincidence. John preached it. Jesus did. And also his disciples. The kingdom of God is near. It's been 2,000 years since we heard that message. That message was heard by the shore of the Galilean Sea and the Mediterranean in Jerusalem. It's been 2,000 years that the Messiah and John and the apostles were preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. This kingdom of God, for whatever reason, is calling people to repent. The word repentance, you know, it means to change the way you think. To change the way how your life is, to change the inner man. Repent. God always calling people to repent, to change the way they are. And apparently, because he's calling people to repent, the kingdom of God is here, therefore, repent. So you better change. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, it's interesting. I just want to spend some time. What is a kingdom? We know that the Israelites, they began as a nation, but later on, they had judges at one time in their history. But later on, when we hear about Saul and David, they went into a monarchy, and we have kings. And later on, the Messiah was told by Isaiah that he will be a king like David. King. The kingdom of God is a monarchy, it's not a democracy. So one of the things we need to understand about the kingdom of God, you won't be voting there. You will not be electing president. You won't have any rights. Oh, I don't want absolutely. Hold on a moment. If I don't have any rights, I don't want to go to the kingdom of heaven. Then, you know, we Americans people, they're very zealous about my rights. Now, this is my right that you know how people are. They have this right, and you don't mess with my rights. You know, you want to take. Please. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's a monarchy, and there's somebody that is in charge. Not you. Not the delegates or the senates. They don't need a senate. So we need to understand that about the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom, a monarchy. Now, I love Webster's definition because Webster, I don't know where he got it, but I think he went into the scripture to get one of the definitions for kingdom. This is what he said. A kingdom is a country whose ruler is a king or queen. And I love this one. The realm in which God's will is fulfilled. So who told you that, Webster? He probably went to Matthew to read it. God, when he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. When that kingdom come, God's will be fulfilled, will be completely done. Right now, God's will is not done on earth. We pass laws that has nothing to do with God. So you know his will is not done. So that kingdom still, so it's coming. The kingdom is here, but it's also coming. This is some of the things that you're understanding about this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. So God is the ruler. It is his kingdom. And he lets anybody he wants in his kingdom because it is God's.
God is also the one who sets the standard, who comes up with the conditions and qualifications for people to enter the kingdom. We already saw one of those qualifications. Jesus said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. For whatever reason, repentance is one of the necessary qualities that people need in order for them to make it into this kingdom that we're talking about. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is going to be the ultimate king, the supreme sovereign ruler. And he will need a cabinet to help him with his decisions. Remember, it's a monarchy. And, you know, for us, it's hard to understand because we grew up in a country that, you know, you vote, you pass laws and things like that. And then we try to think of heaven with our earthly minds and we don't do justice to heaven then. This is a monarchy, supreme authority. When we talk about the Yahweh sovereign, it's above and beyond everything that we could possibly think. You see, nobody deserves to go to enter this kingdom, but God decides the conditions in this place because he is a ruler. Like I said, remember, it's not a democracy, but a monarchy. And with Jesus Christ, he will be the sovereign king forever and ever. Now, for this kingdom, for people to come to this kingdom, God decided that they need to repent. John said it, Jesus said it, and then Jesus commanded his followers, his disciples and apostles, to tell people, repent, change it. You got to change. The kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. Now, it's interesting. When you go through the book of Matthew and you look at all the teachings of Jesus, he taught so many things about the book of about the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. When you hear about the expression in Matthew, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the same thing. So if you got your Bibles, let me just spend some time and give you some more ideas about what Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. And what is this kingdom of heaven? So Jesus said that only the poor in spirit will enter. Or the kingdom of heaven belongs. Remember the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? Matthew 5 verse 3, Jesus said, blessed. The word blessed there means happy. Some translation will say, happy are those. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what is Jesus saying here? So the kingdom of heaven belongs to people who are poor in spirit. What, some of us are like, poor in spirit? What? I thought I needed to be rich in spirit. What is Jesus talking about? The whole idea of poor in spirit. When you do a study about that, you're talking about people that really, they know that their lives and everything about themselves, it doesn't depend on themselves, depend on somebody else. Those are the people that are more in tune to just seek out spiritual matters. Those are the people who are spiritually bankrupt. They realize, you know, remember the song, make me empty so I can be filled again. This is the longing that I have, Lord, and only you can fill that. These are the poor in the spirit. Like later on through that chapter 5, it tells you, blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. They're meek. They're humble people. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones who realize that their need to be supplied and that their dependence is on someone else. There are those who are, like I said, spiritually bankrupt and realize their need for grace. You know, some people don't realize the need for salvation. They think they already got. See, remember Jesus later on said, when he's calling a rich young ruler, he said, follow me. He said, hey, I've been keeping the law. I've been doing this. You know, I've been helping people. Jesus said to him, sell everything you got and follow me. And I guarantee you, you're going to have treasure in heaven. Selling everything I got. Then Jesus said to the apostles, you see how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because their dependence is all about their wealth. I mean, if you got everything supplied, why would you need God? I mean, think about it. Some people, like, they have everything. It's like, usually you tend to think about God when something is not right in your own life. Like, he's going to be supplying to me. So Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Because their lives is built on their wealth, their riches, and they forget about. So he said, blessed, happy are those who are poor in the spirit, because the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, belongs to such people. So repentance is required. Now God said that in the kingdom of heaven, there are going to be people. Those people that are going to make it there is because they were spiritually
poor spiritually. Like they have this need inside of them. Are you with me? You understand what the whole idea of poor in the spirit? Like there's a need that money, women, and fame is not filling it. And some of the artists don't realize that until like later on you ended up, they kill themselves and you wonder, but why? You have money and whatever you have. Because they thought that those things could fill that gap. Only God can do it. And no one, they were not poor in the spirit. And so people poor in the spirit, they find us like, you know, only, yes, there were people in the Bible who were rich, but they also poor in the spirit. Jesus said it's hard for, he didn't say it's impossible. It's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God because they depend so much about that. Like what we're talking about. You know, they forget about God because they supply themselves. They would say, I love the other song. I build my castle tall. Lord, this is my kingdom and it needs to fall. Because it ain't my kingdom. I love that song because it's your kingdom, not mine. For a lot of people, because of the wealth, they build this kingdom. I work hard for this. This is mine. And it's like, forget about the Lord. So Jesus said that in his teaching that the kingdom of God belongs to people who are poor in the spirit. Now, the kingdom of heaven contains reward. You see, the whole idea that we know that we're going to be rewarded in heaven, that's biblical. It's in the Bible. There's going to be rewards. But sometimes we have the idea that it's just because you serve God or whatever. Now, this is interesting what Jesus said because we don't like to get reward because of what we go through in this life. Because he said in the same beatitude that there's going to be reward for those people who are persecuted and insulted because of him. Let me just read it for you. Let's go with Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you. Really, Lord? I mean, someone's like, okay, just take that out of the Bible because I don't feel blessed when I'm being insulted. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then he said, rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So whatever you go through, church people, whatever you go through in this life, people ridiculing, mocking you because you are Christian, they making fun of you, Jesus said, rejoice. You're going to have a great reward when you tolerate, when you let those things go. But you don't want to get even with those people because the Lord said, vengeance is mine. He's going to take care. And then he said, he's going to reward you. The perseverance and the endurance that you showed on earth. I mean, we know in our human terms it's not easy to be insulted or even be talked behind your back. That's not easy. Just say rejoice when they do that because you are Christian and people are doing that because you are Christian. Great is your reward in heaven. And then Jesus said, in the same way they did it to the prophets and they did it to me as well. And guess what? They're going to do it to us. Christian, we should not be thinking that, oh, like, how dare people? It's going to happen. We're going to be insulted. Because, I mean, thus far, we enjoy freedom in this nation. But if something were to change tomorrow, are you still going to rejoice in the name of Jesus? And you're going to say, bring it. I'm still going to praise him, no matter what happens. When you do that, Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. The thing is, sometimes we want the reward right now. You know, heaven is still, we cannot even see. It's like, well, he already said, if we believe the Bible, we believe the Son of God, he says, he's guaranteeing that there will be reward for those people who are being persecuted. Revelation 6:10, their souls in heaven of those people who were killed by the word of God. And they say, there's a day, they say to the Lord, Lord, how long until you avenge our blood? They know that there's a time that God's going to repay whatever bad things people did to his people, to his Christian. That's why he says, vengeance is mine. The time is coming when it's going to be paid back. The kingdom of God, there's reward. The kingdom of heaven, there's reward for those who persevere. Now, it's interesting. In our prayer, Jesus, when the apostles told him, teach us how to pray, one of the things he says is this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Okay, hold on. Didn't Jesus say that he's here? Why do we have to? Because the kingdom of God is here, has a counting of present and also future. We are part of the kingdom, but this is not it yet. The kingdom of God is here. So Your kingdom come. We're waiting for the coming kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus Christ inaugurated that kingdom of heaven when he came to earth. That's why John the Baptist and Jesus, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And then Jesus said, when you pray, you and I, believers in the Lord, have to long for that coming kingdom where things will be different. It's almost like even in our prayer, well, Lord, you bring that kingdom. When we know your will be totally, completely, sovereignly done. We long for that. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Your kingdom come. So the kingdom of God has a spirit, it's both physical and spiritual. For us, like, okay, I'm really confused now. The kingdom of God is both, kingdom of heaven is both spirit, physical and spiritual. Right now, heaven for us is in the spiritual realm. We cannot see it. We have no idea where it is. We tend to think of heaven somewhere up. We tend to think of hell somewhere down. But it might be next to your house. You never know. I mean, that's what we gotta, you know, the scripture will tell us that heaven above the heavens, you know, so in a different dimension, that's spiritual to us. Isaiah and John were given a chance to look into that in a glimpse, and they did not even want to be there. Because why? Because they're still in a physical condition. They have not been regenerated, and they could not even be in the presence of God like that. And Isaiah, even though he was preaching, he said, I'm done. I'm ruined. Because I'm a sinful man, and my eyes have seen the King. And the Lord, the angel said, just calm down, Isaiah. That's all right. Your guilt is taken away. Now you can see. Just a glimpse. You see, because he just looked into something that is hidden from our eyes. This kingdom of God, heaven, right now, is in the spiritual realm. When people die right now, if you die in the Lord, you go to the presence of God as a spirit. You're not there physically yet. You go as a spirit. I mean, you see the parable of the Lazarus and the rich man. You know, and the soul. John saw the souls of people. For whatever reason, God decided that John would take a little glimpse of that. When people die right now, they're in the spirit world. But when that kingdom comes, that's what we hear about the resurrection. People are going to be resurrected, be giving these glorified bodies, with new bodies, new heaven, new earth, the Bible talks about. So, the kingdom of God has a physicality, has a physical aspect. When Jesus Christ comes back, you think he's going to come back as a spirit? He's going to come back like people saw him. Remember, he resurrected. There's only one physical person in heaven, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. He comes back as a man to rule. And those people who died, they're going to be resurrected. Whether you were a believer or not, you're all going to be resurrected. Some for eternal life and some for eternal punishment. Remember, that's what the Bible teaches about that. So right now, yes, when people die right now, because we're in this side of heaven, you go into a spiritual aspect. You go as a soul. Remember, the body dies, but the soul, the spirit never dies. That's where those... But if Jesus came right now, everybody who died was going to resurrect. So you see the physical and the spiritual aspect. I'm giving you a lot of homework already for that. It's like, I'm telling you that's what you would challenge me. He said, no, whatever you said, that's not right. And just got to show me the scripture, though. Challenge me with the scripture. Like, so the physicality of the kingdom, because remember, even in the prayer, we say, your kingdom come. If we long for it to come, that means what? It's not here yet. So we're still longing when we say that Jesus Christ will not come back. Then that kingdom of God will come to earth. There's a lot of religious groups out there that will tell you that we are already in the kingdom of God that is here. And I have a problem with that, because if the kingdom of God, like the Bible teaches about, is already here, why do we have so much evil? And people still mocking Jesus. When that kingdom comes, they won't be able to do that. So like I said, this is a spiritual aspect, but one day God's kingdom will come, and what will happen is heaven and earth will be together. It will be like Genesis 1 and 2, paradise restored. You're going to feel the presence of God right there, face to face, walking hand in hand with the Lord. That's the physicality of the kingdom of God. That hasn't happened. That's still pending. That is one of those coming soon. We don't know how soon it will be, but it's coming. Jesus said he will. Now, when you go to Revelation, let me just take a glimpse. Stay there in Matthew for a while, but Revelation 21. This is what John, the writer, said. Revelation 21, verses 1. It said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, spiritually dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That has not happened. God will come. It's the dwelling of God with the dwelling of God with mankind once again. That's what you and I long for when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And when you keep on reading, it says that he will wipe away every tears. And then later on, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end." The author of Hebrews says something similar. He says that Jesus is the perfecter of our salvation. He initiated our salvation and he will complete it. He will end it. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Now, Jesus also in his teaching throughout the Gospel of Matthew, he said that there are conditions for people to be able to enter this kingdom of heaven. We already saw that repentance is necessary. And then in Matthew 7, 21, this is what the Lord Jesus said. You and I are familiar with this passage. He said in Matthew 7, 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Listen to that. Not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. So not everybody's going to go to heaven, according to Jesus. He said, not everybody, because people preaching Jesus or singing the songs of Jesus, that does not mean that they're going to make it. There might be a lot of church people that they think they're probably going to go, and they might not, because they forgot some of those requirements that the Lord said. He says, not everybody who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says this, "But only he who does the will of my Father." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles?" I mean, people doing miracles in the name of the Lord and still don't make it to heaven? Man, this is the scariest passage in the Bible. I mean, some of us are used to do a lot of things in church and all that things, but at the end of the day, he said, "I don't even know who you are." Man. And then he says, only he who does the will. So you have to do the will of the Father to be able to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Now the question is, what is the will of the Father? Well, let's let Jesus to answer that for himself. In John 6:40, Jesus said it plainly, what is the will of the Father, God? John 6, for those of you who take notes. What is it? He said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up." There's the resurrection again. "I will raise him up in the last day." The Father's will is that anybody who looks to the Son and believes in the Son will have eternal life. Heaven is the place of eternal life. So people had to look to the Son to enter there. The will of God is that people believe in the Son in order for them to make it to heaven. That's so clear through Scripture. Because later on, Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Even though you might experience physical death, you're going to live forever and ever." He said, "I am the gate. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus himself said it. He's the door. It makes so much sense because the famous passage that everybody knows, I mean, it used to be on a t-shirt on the WWF a long time ago. I mean, they got 3:16. Steve Austin used to, but he got it from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his own, the one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish or die, but have eternal life." God did what he needed. I mean, God, for whatever reason, he wants to share his kingdom with us. But there are conditions that people need to meet in order for them to make it. Repentance is necessary. Then you have to do his will. The will is that you believe in Jesus. Because only He can take you there. I love, one of my favorites, John 3, 33. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's why repentance is necessary. People might not think, I don't need anything to repentance. If you don't repent, the wrath of God is still remaining on you. You need somebody to come, call the Messiah, to clear that up. The mess of the wrath of God, that's why He's the Messiah. He's not coming to make you right with Him. The Bible talks about that we are justified because of Christ. So it's only through Christ that God can look at us and say, they're holy. Even though it's only through Christ. Without Christ, you haven't done good enough things in this life. You will never do good enough things in this life to make it to heaven. We do not deserve heaven. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, we were on our way, like somebody, to hell. Literally. And Jesus said, I don't want them to go there. And I'm going to do whatever is necessary. I'm going to put on human flesh and come to earth to pay for them. Christ paid. That's what we call redemption. We have been bought back from death into life. You see, when we talk about Christians, remember the transition that we make from darkness into light, death into life? It's all possible because of the man, Jesus Christ, the only mediator, go-betweener between us and God. Thank God that He loved us that much. And He wants to share heaven. But He said, in order for you to go, you need to do this. You need to look to the Son. Only through Him you can go. You got to believe in Him. That's what Peter told a whole bunch of people. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, will have eternal life. See, my brothers and sisters, God, Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of heaven during His time on earth. He sent people to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. According to Luke 24, 46. Remember, this is right after the resurrection. The disciples were so joyous because they saw the risen Christ. And they probably think, oh, the kingdom of God is going to start right now. Jesus said, not yet. They even asked Him, Lord, are you going to restore it now? He said, no, I have a job for you to do in the meantime. This is our job also. Luke 24. I'll just read it right here. Verses 46 and 47. This is what is written. Jesus said, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance, there it is again. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then He says, you are witnesses of all these things. Repentance. We got to tell people that they need to come to Jesus. They need to change their lives. They need a Savior to be able to enter the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ comes back, He will establish His kingdom. That's when Paul says that one day every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's coming. And I hope that you and I, we don't have to forcefully confess that we can do it right now because we love Him. So Lord, thank You that You love me that much that You decided to come to earth to die for me. Even though I still fail You with my flesh, I still do the things that You tell me not to do. Thank You that You are the one that can really take me there. But one day those people that pierce the Lord, they will have to see the face of the King. When He comes back, He's not going to be born of a virgin. He's going to come like Revelation 19 as a King, conquering King. And He's ticked with the nations. He's mad. That's why He's called the Judge. I mean, you see a glimpse of Revelation 19 that His robe is stained with blood. Why would that King have blood on His robe? That's the imagery of Jesus treading out the nations, those people that rejected Him. I don't want to be on that side. You know, one of those that reject Him when He comes back. Every tongue will confess one day. So the question that you and I have to be asking ourselves, if the kingdom of God is that near, what are you doing? What have you done to enter this kingdom? If you are already there, there's so many other things that keep on. You know, the kingdom. Remember, Jesus later on said, the kingdom of God is like a man that went on a journey, but He will come back to hold us accountable to what we have done with the life that, as we're passing through this world. So the physicality of the kingdom will come. Lord, come anytime now, sometimes we pray. See, this is what we look forward to. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The last phrase in the book of Revelation, John says, the bride says, come. I said, come, Lord Jesus, come. May the grace of our Lord be with God's people. Amen. Even as they conclude that book, the prophecy of Revelation, it says, and the author, I don't know who sings the song, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. That's what you and I are looking forward to. I was born in, my dad's been a preacher for a while, and I remember that I wasn't, when people used to sing the song, the king is coming, I wasn't ready to see the face of the king. That song would give me goosebumps. It's like, something was not right with me. I realized I need to just let the Lord, to transform me so that I can be ready to see his face when he comes back.